Hey y'all, welcome and thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Gyne Down. We're just three sisters in the OB-GYN office and we do it for the culture, love, life, and vaginas, of course. I'm your girl Jay, Jamie, if you will.
I'm Stephanie and welcome back to another episode of The Gyne Down.
And I'm Dr. Wendy and y'all tuning in and it's going to be a good time. Here we go.
Welcome back and let's get it cracked.
Today,
you know what I'm saying? I got my girls here with me. If y'all new here, what's up? Okay. And Dr. McDonald, we talking about what today now?
So November is Bladder Health Month. Bladder Health Month. Do a Kegel for me,
Bladder
y'all.
Health.
Do a Kegel for me in the silence. Quick
okay.
Kegel. Quick
okay.
Kegel. I think the trick to the Kegel is that you don't move your face while you do it. That's the key. That's how you do Kegels in stealth. You know what I'm saying?
I have a question before we jump off of to this oh so serious subject. Okay.
Okay.
So when you're doing a Kegel, is it normal to have like a wink in the back?
A wink.
I know what she means. I know what she means.
Okay.
I know what she means.
But please explain to me what she means.
Is that normal? Is that supposed to be doing that or not?
So let me tell you something. First of all, to all of our listeners who are immediately cracking up and thinking, what a wink? There is literally in the medical journals a description called the anal wink. That is a whole thing that we learn about in our medical school training. It's a whole thing. The anal wink. And what it means is that your butthole, your booty hole, as Tiffany Haddish would call it, your booty hole actually contracts.
It's your booty hole.
Girls trip. Shouts out.
I just started cracking up because y'all was taking too long to tell me what it was, so I did it again.
See?
I just realized
what the miss, you know what it was. And she's like, oh, that? Yes, that's the thing. So probably the pros out here who could probably isolate the vaginal perineal contraction versus the anal contraction, the pros could probably do that. I don't know if I could really do one or the other separately, quite honestly. I think that they all kind of go together. When you do a Kegel, which is a perineal contraction, a contraction of the muscles of your pelvic floor, same muscles you use to hold in gas when your boo is right next to you, or, you know, if you really got to go to the bathroom and you're trying to stop it from coming out, them same muscles you contract, I think would actually contract your vagina and your booty hole, which is also known as your anus.
Yeah.
And that's a wink. Okay. So, yes, you would wink. You can wink. And actually, if people, like, say they have a vaginal delivery of a baby and they tear down there, like down through the anus, and if those muscles don't come back together, the reason why it's described in literature is not just to make us laugh, is because if those muscles don't come back together, right, the anal wink will be, like, not all the way around. It won't be the whole hole, if you will, contracting down. It'll be part of it contracting. So that's why it's actually a thing.
OMG.
Yep.
So a part of your butt could, like, not work.
Yeah, basically, because it should be a ring. It should be literally a ring of muscle around there that holds everything in, and if it tears and don't come back together properly, then it could be like a semicircle, you know, or like an incomplete ring, and then it won't hold in stuff it need to hold in. Yeah, that's true.
So now you know I'm tripped out by that.
It's real.
I ain't know that.
Yeah, yeah. But if you didn't tear through... But if you didn't tear through your actual anus, like all the way straight from the lettuce, the rooter to the tooter, as they say, if you didn't tear all the way through there, you shouldn't have to worry about that. But, and if you did, you should know. Your doctor should have been like, ma'am, you tore all the way through. And then you need to be on the lookout for that.
Oh, right. So I have a follow-up question. Steph, you got something to say?
No.
She said no. She winking over here. She winking.
I'm over here in pain.
She winking. She winking.
Listen to this. That was another question, but that question ain't got nothing to do with that.
Right. So I want to ask, so follow-up question.
Okay.
So you say your wink could really not like work properly or whatever. You know, you can't. And everything. So my question is, what is the likelihood of that happening to someone who has a baby? First of all, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Interjection, interruption, flag on the play.
Okay, flag.
Miss Chance the Papa.
Girl.
The new heat.
Hello.
On Instagram. Like, what?
Squeeze.
I just had to interject on my own.
All right.
Because it's like, what?
So to fill you in. Yes. So to fill the callers and the listeners in, your girl had some inspiration from Chance the Rapper. I have in my past life been known affectionately as Chance the Papper. And so I took his new hit, Hot Shower, and just reimagined it. To reflect the challenges of those of us who may need to strengthen our pelvic floor muscles to hold the urine in. And it is now renamed Hot Bladder. I'm waiting for Chance to shout me out. I don't know if it's going to be a good shout out or not, but we'll see.
It should be, because not only was it just a song, there was a whole full-fledged video.
Did you like it?
Yes, I don't. It ain't even just the song, everything that went with it. Did you drop down that ball, though?
Girl, let me tell you something about that ball. Them balls is magic. My own husband was like, what you been doing? I was like, yeah, let me tell you something about these Kegel balls, because them things is the truth.
Okay, I'm looking on Amazon for them. Like, look at the package, like, what kind is that?
I'm telling you what I know.
So
I'm glad you liked it.
It goes so hard. I love it.
I have fun with that. What?
I just thought about something.
What?
You know that Casper is on Chance's album.
Ask him to look at the video.
Tell him
I want an interlude on his next album. Girl, tell him Chance the Papper wants to really straight up do an intro, and it'll hit so hard. And I'm so excited,
yeah,
and I'll do it.
Love,
I just think he's great.
Hometown hero, we really love him.
And tell him, you know, and truthfully, I told him, I said in my little message on the video, I said, that's my bad for messing up your song like that. But it's for the healthier culture, which is also why we are here at the Gang Down, right? For the healthier culture.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. Because, we say we do it for the culture, but, you know, we got to show how we do it for
exactly.
the culture. Exactly. Throw that shout out there. We appreciate you, sis. You know,
Thank you, friend. But yes, so back to your follow-up question. What was it?
Yes. So what is the likelihood of a woman giving birth and tearing all the way to the anus? Is
mm-hmm.
that more common than what we think? Because I know that, my personal experience, I tore, but I didn't tear all the way.
Right. What about you, Steph? Did you get any lacerations?
No. He actually ripped me open. He actually tore down.
Okay, let me actually have a disclaimer and a sidebar. For those of you all who don't have children, they're beautiful and we love them. And it's not about how they get here. It's because they're here that our lives are... No, sorry. It's to back that up. I just felt like I had to not scare folk for just a minute.
Yeah.
Most of us tear.
Sorry, y'all.
Most of us tear. I tore. The typical tear is a second degree tear. That's 4 degrees. First degree is like a little skid mark, little skin tear, nothing too bad. Second degree is a little bit of the muscle of the vagina. But that usually comes back really easy. It's usually not a big deal. Third degree gets to the anus, but not through the anus. And that's okay. It's like it was like a near miss. It was a near miss. Fourth degree tears right through that muscle of the anus, and it's no good. It's not a good situation. And you really do need a trained...
That's on your description of that. I'm thinking maybe I was second.
You probably second. Most of us are second. I was second. If you get through unscathed, then good for you. But most people get at least a 2. When you get to 4, you really would pray that the doc who's putting you back together knows what they're doing, because it does require some significant reinforcement of those muscles. If somebody don't put it together right, you're going to have a problem. And then many of us now need antibiotics for a short period of time after that to minimize infection and close follow-up with the pelvic floor specialist. So if you heard the word 4th, you got a baby, you heard the word 4th, you better make sure somebody's all over that, or at the very least is being evaluated later. And then I'm going to take it all the way there. For people who've had a 4th degree tear, we recommend that you maybe consider a C-section with your second baby, because you don't want to do it twice. What you don't want to do is do it twice, you know, because it's the chances of it healing improperly the second time is even higher than the chances of it healing improperly the first time. So, yeah, it's real out here, but it's not frequent. Honestly, I probably have maybe 2 to 4 fourth degree tears in a whole year out of the babies I deliver. Wow. It's not frequent. Okay. It's usually something that happens only if a baby is like super humongous and, you know, this uncontrolled delivery where the patient's just pushing like and not stopping or holding back. Like there's a few, you know, setups, if you will, but most people don't have that.
Right.
Well, I just got quiet
because
I fainted.
Listen. Ah, wake up, girl. Wake up. She out.
Oh, my goodness. I'm like, oh.
She over here. I do declare. She on the floor. I do declare. Okay.
She didn't clutch the pearls so tight.
Pearls is clutch.
Almost toe
out. Pearls is crush.
I feel like somebody was in just here. Okay. Bladder mouth.
Trying to get back to bladder month. Yeah. So when we talk about the Kegels and tears and everything, because we know that having kids vaginally, that, you know, affects that area down there, but it usually bounces back. You usually get a pretty good shape back.
True.
From that. So like with the fourth degree tears, you know, is the muscle weaker in that area?
So remember
is
the fourth.
Is it harder for you to do a Kegel?
So remember the fourth is just the anus. So even a second degree tear can affect your vagina. And but once it heals, like you said, it should be fine. So it's not so much usually the repercussions of the tear. It's really, quite honestly, even a person who has not torn and had a vaginal delivery, or a person who, check this out, hasn't had a vaginal delivery at all but just been pregnant, say they had a C-section, their risk is actually still significant to have incontinence or leaking urine, because it's about how it changes the bottom of the pelvis, the pelvic floor, and those muscles, which is why doing those regular exercises is so important, because if you lose them, you got to get them back. You know, like it's hard for a doc, certain types of procedures can be done to try to help a person get back their urine control. But a lot of it is like your own control. No matter how you had your baby, even no matter how, what kind of tear you had, you got to be able to work those muscles. It's just like if you don't, you know, ever exercise, then you go try to pick up, you know, some 40-pound weights, you might struggle. You know, but if you usually do some curls, and you can pick up a 40-pound bag of dog food. I don't know where the dog food came from. I just was trying to bring it. I was just trying to bring the conversation to exercise. I don't even have a dog. I don't even have a dog. So yeah, that's my bad.
Okay, so that's the part of that you can have these problems with
leakage,
with having a baby.
Oh,
what about people that don't have babies, or the older people that have.
Real talk.
What about the awareness for those people?
Yep, and it can happen to anybody. So it may happen later in life for somebody who's never had children or been pregnant, but it can happen to anybody that has difficulty. A person can have difficulty holding their urine or having those pelvic floor muscles being strong. When we're younger, it's like we take it for granted. They just work. You know, you don't want to pee, and you don't pee. You know, you sneeze, you don't pee.
Right.
But as you get older, 40s and 50s, you might sneeze and get a surprise. So you have to keep those muscles strong and not. Girl, I hear you. It's happened to the best of us. It's happened to the best of us.
That is so unfair.
Yeah.
And we go backwards like that. I mean, when we born and we're younger, you can't control it. You pee on yourself, then you know you get in trouble because your mom says you should have been went to the bathroom. You knew you had to go.
Right.
And then you get older, you can hold it. And then when you get older, you're back to when you was younger.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
So it's there.
But if you keep yourself toned up like them 50-year-olds in the gym and 60-year-olds in the gym, then you'll be better off.
That's
true. Do they have exercises in the gym for your... For that.
If they do, don't use them.
Okay, because that's overly disgusting.
Wipe that off. Sanitize
that. What I will say is, so like when we talk about holding it, and because of bladder awareness month, you can really mess your bladder up and your kidneys up by holding it.
Real talk.
Say your Kegels is off the chain, your pelvic floor is strong enough to lift a 50-pound bag of potatoes.
Yeah.
You just out here. You know, cracking eggs in your vagina and everything.
Wow.
But now you're just
wow.
But now you're just holding it, and what type of damage does that do?
Real talk. So I agree. Overholding your bladder can be a problem too. And actually, when I was reading, I wrote a whole blog post about this on my blog. Check it out. It'll be in the comments. But I wrote a post because I was looking at like how to do Kegels, like what's the best standard way. I know how I advise people, but let me make sure it's the standard way. And one thing that I read was like to isolate those Kegel muscles, if you're urinating, you try to stop your urine, that's the muscles, right? But you don't want to do that very often because it can lead to something called urinary retention, which means your bladder overfills. And that's what you're getting at too, bladder overfilling or kidneys being damaged. Generally speaking, unless you really are like unable to urinate for like 12 to 18 hours, you're not going to damage your kidneys. But you can long-term stretch your bladder out so much so that it has a difficult time emptying and emptying all the way. So now when you go to the bathroom, you thought you got it all out, you stand up and more urine comes out because the bladder was still had urine in it. It's almost like if you have a like a water balloon, and that water balloon, you know, should just water should just come right out of it. But if you like really, really overfill a floppy balloon and you try to let it empty, it's gonna empty out extra slow. You might have a little pocket of, you know, fluid still in it, a reservoir, if you will. So that's why you do want to make sure you empty your bladder relatively regularly. But anywhere from 2 to 4 hours is reasonable. You go to the bathroom every 30 minutes, it's probably too much. And if you're going to the bathroom less frequent than like every 4 to 5 hours, you're probably going too little. You need to actually go and empty that bladder. And if you really don't feel like you gotta go, you might need to drink some more water, you know? You might be like dehydrated.
Okay.
I don't know if this has anything to do with anything, but I gotta say, while you were talking, it just made me think of it. Okay,
yeah.
So there's this term. Okay, so like you're out, you're clubbing,
yep.
You're drinking.
Yep.
Okay. You're not going to the bathroom. So then you decide, okay, I'm going to go to the bathroom. But you've really been having to use the bathroom for the last 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So you go and you do what they call break the seal.
Break the seal.
So you go to the bathroom, and it's like now you got to go every 5 minutes. But you were able to hold that urine for an hour.
I'm going
to
tell you
why
what
you
it was.
Have to go every 5 minutes?
I got the secret. I got the intel on that. So your bladder so there's two types of bladder leakage or bladder overactivity or spontaneous leakage of urine, right? There's where you sneeze and cough and laugh and some just squirts out. And then there is something called overactive bladder, where your bladder is squeezing and trying to empty more often than it needs to. So when you first got to the club, you ain't been drinking all day. You just started. So your urine is pretty dilute. The bladder does not really bother. It's filling up like it normally would. When you finally empty it, now it's filling up with this kind of caustic and like aggressive alcohol and all the other stuff you eating and drinking, and now the bladder's irritated and mad. So even a little bit of urine, concentrated urine, is making the bladder overreact. It's called overactive bladder. Now overactive bladder is a whole diagnosis. So just because you at the club and that's happened doesn't mean you have the diagnosis of overactive bladder. But that's what's happening. Your bladder is actually overreacting to being filled by the stuff that's not water or is not like more dilute. So this is also why some people who, you know, have bladder issues may not drink water, because they're like, oh, I want to go to the bathroom. I don't want to have to go to the bathroom. But I'm like, you need to drink water because you need your bladder to not be exposed to this concentrated urine.
Wow.
You know, it's actually making it harder for you to hold your urine because the bladder is mad. It wants water. It wants to have something that it can, like, relax in as opposed to the alcohol. So that's what the breaking the seal is. When you first go, you're getting rid of the dilute urine, and it's filling up with this really concentrated alcohol urine, and the bladder don't like that.
Okay, so I'm going to stop saying I broke the seal. I'm just going to say my bladder is mad.
It's mad at me? Give me some water. Give me some water.
Would that stop it? Like, if you're just in between drinking alcohol, but in between drinking, like, water, a lot of water, would that stop
it? It should help it.
Much?
It should help it, but you still got that alcohol in there. Just like when I drink coffee, I don't drink coffee often, but I know if I'm going to drink some coffee, I better be close to a bathroom because it's going to make my bladder mad until it's out of my system. You know?
Right.
And it's a bladder irritant for me. Everybody's bladder irritants can be a little different, but alcohol is a common one. Coffee, spicy foods, citrus foods.
Mm.
So, yeah, that can totally be a cause.
Wow, okay.
Ooh,
okay, so that was a good question.
It was. It was really relevant.
I got my hair. My bladder about to be straight now. I know what a wink is.
I know
what water. I know my blood be mad at me.
Ooh, it be mad.
Okay.
So we got to have some type of pop culture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Let's do it.
I'm gonna let Stephanie introduce this one because I think she had a decent take on it.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So word on the street is T.I., well, just the word on the street, is T.I. wanted to know if his daughters
hymen was still intact because he goes to her gynae appointments every year with her. Mm. And the doctor is able to discuss the daughter's, she's 18 now,
yeah,
but able to discuss the daughter's visit with her consent. And so it was a big deal that everybody focused on the fact that why would he want to know if his daughter's hymen was still intact? Even though the doctor did tell him, even if it's not intact, it does not mean she actually had sex. It could be other reasons why it's no longer intact.
Okay.
So they made a big deal out of it. And yeah. Jamie, you think that that is cool for him to want to know that information or not cool?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you how I feel. I feel like sharing the information with your father or a parent or sister or whoever you trust is fine. And I think that, now what I will say is, I think that what the internet has done is taking on its own entity and saying that, why is he going in the room with her while she's being examined? I don't think he's in the room with her.
He's not.
But I do feel like that information should be able to be kept to herself. Now, if she just wants to say, you know, Dad, I'm not a virgin, and he just wants to be like, hey, well, let me just have this conversation with you, or, you know what I'm saying, just if you're ready to do that, take that step, just let me know, because I just want to make sure that you're educated and you're making, you know, a decision that you're comfortable with. But I just think sharing those intimate details, if it was me, those intimate details about my body with, you know, that I share with my doctor, I think that as your daughter, you should have some level of trust with me, you know what I'm saying, to say, I take my daughter's word for it that she's still a virgin or whatever.
I agree.
I don't think that he's necessarily wrong or right, but I do feel like, you know, if you wanted to share that, and because we all have kids or cousins or whatever, you know what I'm saying, that we're like, you know, hey, we need to talk, we need to have these discussions with them, but I just think that personal information should be left to her and her doctor. I shouldn't have to share that with you because that.
Well, that's the thing. That the thing is, she don't have to, and that's what the big deal is. The internet is making it seem like this is he's getting this information like, I want to know, I need to know. This is a decision between a parent. Take out the father. Because would it be the same? Would people be in this big uproar if it was her mother asking this question?
Oh, they would. Yes, I would.
No, I'm talking about most people said that they wouldn't because that's woman to woman. But this, then
it's
goes
the
into.
Thing.
No, but I know, but I'm saying most people have said when that question was asked, most people have said this woman to woman. It could be like talking to your girlfriend. What does this man need to know this for? But then you got to look at, what type of relationship do they have? Maybe she don't have a relationship with her mom like she does with her dad. Maybe she don't mind doing it because at the end of the day, she lives with her mom and all his other kids live with him and Tiny. So when she comes over for a visit. Maybe that's her closest. She's 18 years old. She actually signs a consent. So she could say, no, I don't want to share that information. And then the doctor won't. But it must be something going on with them and their connection where she don't mind. Maybe she might feel like, well, I'm not having sex, so I don't care what he knows.
Can I go in my little 2 cents?
Mm-hmm.
Because I appreciate both of y'all's opinions about it. I do. And I think that as the gynecologist in the room, I have a slightly different opinion about it. So I think what's good about it as just a person, we all people, is I think it's good for parents to be vested in their child's health. I do. I think it's actually kind of noble. Now take what I'm listening. You know, hear the whole thing. Noble that he, as a father, thinks it's important for his daughter to see a gynecologist. I'm down for that because that's dope. You know, especially if he's not in the room. Like, I applaud any parent who keeps the conversation open with their child about sexual health. Okay. What sucks about it? What sucks about it? The problems that I have with it. One, she's 18 now. He mentioned they've been going every year, which means they were going before she was 18, which means before
right.
she was
right.
able to technically give consent. So
right.
he has to consent that she can be there, but she actually does not have power in that circumstance when it's not about like birth control. There's a couple things that make you an emancipated minor, birth control and STD stuff. But this one, he actually has like a paternal authority
to be able to make her do this. So I don't know if he was making her or not, but before she was 18, he very well could have been. Two, a doctor, a gynecologist who's seen me, who's seen thousands of hymens in my career, thousands of hymens, they all look different. And I cannot just look at one. I couldn't pick a hymen out of a lineup that had sex or not had sex. Short of it being completely imperfect, which means completely closed, which is a medical problem, by the way, because that means it's going to be hard for you to have a period. It's going to be hard to insert tampons. Short of that problem, you cannot pick a virginal hymen out of a lineup. Like, that's not even a thing. Like, even if a doctor tries to say it's a thing, it's a judgment call. It's not a medical diagnosis, right? It's like, it's a personal opinion. It's not a medical, you know, grade diagnosis. So I have a problem with that. And I also feel like, while I applaud him as a parent having a vested interest in her sexual health, make that a conversation. I think this is why it's important. I think your health is important. I think your STD prevention and HIV and you know, birth control is important. I think that your mental clarity, we talked about this on the podcast a number of times, that sex is more than just physical, it's emotional. And so that your health, mental health, is vested in your ability to have sex or not with a person, and, you know, and to carry on daily activities thereafter. Talk about that. Don't take me to the gynecologist for proof. Like, that's where it stops to me. You cannot now say, we've had this conversation and now I need proof that you're not a virgin. The trust is gone. Whatever we had established is gone. Because you're calling me a liar. Right. Now you're calling me a liar.
See, that's the problem. When the internet posted, they just post that part and that's the way it seemed. But when you listen to the interview, he was talking about how he's the one that takes his daughter to the guy, and he's always been the one. He puts a note for her 18th birthday. He said, when it was about to be her 18th birthday, he said he put a sticky on the door saying, don't forget, your appointment is such and such a day. They only took part of the interview. It wasn't like you just sat down and talked about this. This were ladies that were talking to T.I., started a conversation, started about his children, started talking about how he's so invested into his children, and then the conversation went on, and it came up that this is how close I am. Mm-hmm. I take my daughter to the, you know, I take my daughter to the guy. I'm the one that's responsible. They also asked him about what he felt for boys versus girls. And he admitted that his son at 15 is having sex. He talks to him about sex, but it doesn't bother him the way it would bother him that his daughter is. And that's like with any man. But that also may be because he knows how he was.
Right.
He know how men could be.
Right.
And he don't want his daughter, because she's kind of the only one that is not really out there on the forefront. The rest of them, you know, singing, clothing line, she's kind of like the quiet, shy one.
Right.
So maybe he feels like this is the one that may be easily manipulated.
Right.
So I need to have a strong hold on her because I don't want her caught up.
Right.
It could be a lot of reasons why he's that, but all they took was, forget his parenting, forget how close he is to his children. They just took that one part.
Mm.
And he did say that the doctor told him that does not tell whether she's had sex or not. But they just took that one part and just ran with it. Just like they did with Tate, his little comment. Just like they did with him. They take, and it's
the
not
sound
bad. I mean, I feel like our culture, if you say something, we go take it and run with it, and it gets so much worse.
With any part of it. Yeah. Yeah, that's real.
Or even in listening to the full interview. Because if you listen to the interview, it doesn't seem as bad as what they posted.
That's real. That's real. That's fair. And I appreciate that insight, because we do that. We do take sound bites. And I think as long as we all come away with the understanding that, one, virginity testing isn't a thing, you know, and two, the value of a relationship of a parent and child should be more than proving their virginity. I think as long as we take away that as fact, then his relationship with his daughter should be his relationship with his daughter. And we should stay out of it. You know, I'm with that.
That's definitely true. Like I said, I got my own opinions about it. Everybody's going to have their own opinion about it or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, those are his kids. And so he's going to do with them what he sees fit.
Right.
But I totally agree with you, Dr. McDonald. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a level of trust that's there. And I don't think, I know as a daughter, you know what I'm saying? I would feel like, so you don't take my word. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. But it sounds like it was bigger than that from what Stephanie was saying. It was deeper than that.
He wasn't trying to see if she was having sex. This was just what he does with his daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't think I would have been okay with my daughter getting a color of her eyes change, but her mama did it, but mm-hmm. I don't think I'd be cool with that either. So they do some things that many of us might not approve of.
Right. I didn't know that you could do that.
Yeah, what's her name, David? She looking like, she like Smokey Robinson now. What's her name? Tiny. She went to Africa or something. That's why.
Is that why she look like a ghost?
I just say that and just scoop past that. Like, that's not what you said.
What do you want to mean? Like,
When they
showed Tiny after she finished doing it, I'm like, she don't look like Smokey Robinson.
She said the tears of a clown when there's no one around.
You know what? Y'all are
baby,
okay.
That's true. Stop it, Tiny. You better do that remake. You better do that remake. He cruised to Africa.
I'm tired of y'all.
When she come out with that Smokey Robinson's Greatest Hits for Christmas, y'all gonna say I called it. Tiny's Smokey remake Greatest Hits Christmas album is on its way.
Y'all watch when we finish. Y'all gonna Google. Y'all gonna see she look like Smokey Robinson.
Ooh, baby, let's cruise. Ooh, over the ocean.
I feel like Shawnee now. I laugh.
I laugh. Oh, I don't know, y'all. Okay. I think we're going to end on that note.
Okay, y'all. We got to end it because I wanted to say something about this paint situation. I'm going to leave that for next time.
Let's leave that for next time. I think we didn't.
Let's don't leave that.
My cup is full. I don't think I can do that right now.
Right.
Girl, I'm overflowing.
And thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of The Guine Down. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Guine Down Podcast. Leave comments, questions. We'll be happy to answer them on here every week. This is Jamie signing off.
This is Stephanie signing off.
And this is Dr. Wendy signing off on another episode of
The Guine Down.